So I think that you need to do four measurements, and I'm going to describe them to you. It'll take a few minutes. First thing you need to do is to total the number of adult prophys, the 1110 procedure code. You can even, if you want, put in the 4910, which is the continuing care visit for somebody who's had some soft tissue management. So you add up the number of 1110s and the 4910 and do it for a year, or at least the last 6 months. Then you want to add up the number of therapeutic procedures that are performed in the same period. And we're going to define a therapeutic procedure as a debridement, which is 4355, a quadrant of root planing and scaling, which is 4341, a partial quad, which is scaling root planing of 1 to 3 teeth in a quadrant, and that is code 4342, and then the delivery of some chemotherapeutic agent like Arestin, which is 4381. And to keep it simple, we can give equal weighting to all of these procedures, even though they don't generate the same dollar value. So you take the total of the therapeutic procedures, that's going to be the numerator.
And the numerator is the top number in the fraction.
That's right.
Remember my algebra here.
And the total of adult prophys is going to be the denominator, and that's going to give you the ratio of therapeutic procedures being performed in your practice. Now, I know we've all heard what the ADA and the Academy of Perio estimate, that 75% of Americans over the age of 35 have some kind of periodontal situation going on. So if some of these people live in your neighborhood, and I certainly think that they do, the hygiene practice should be easily doing 35 to 40% therapeutic procedures. I typically find here in the Northeast, but just around the country in general, where I sometimes interact, that the average general practice is doing between 5 to 15% therapeutic procedures.
Okay, so you found that typically the numerator, the top number, is the amount of actual therapeutic procedures.
Yep.
And the denominator, which is the amount of 1110s and
4910s,
the periodontal maintenance, is going to be around 10 times greater than the amount of therapeutic procedures.
That's right.
Wow. And you're saying it should only be maybe double or triple at the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be 35 to 40%. I mean, that's what I would target to do in any general practice.
Okay, so we've done step one, and we've got
step
this
one.
Fraction.
Right. Number two, you should calculate the gross wages paid to the hygienist for this same period, a year, 6 months, whatever, and divide it by the total hygiene charges. Now, you don't include exams because those should be credited to the doctor. So that's going to give you an idea of what percentage of the hygiene dollars produced, even if we give credit to that every dollar produced is going to be collected. It'll give you what percentage of the hygiene dollars produced is allocated to hygiene salaries. Now, it should be no more than 33 to 35%, and I often see that percentage in the low 40s.
Okay, so let's explain that one more time because it was a little confusing. You take the why don't you go ahead? Since
you want to be able to divide the hygiene wages by the total hygiene charges, and that's going to give you the percentage of the hygiene dollars that come in that go to pay the hygienist.
Okay, and do not include the exam because that's doctor production.
Okay,
that's
step
two.
And I'm saying that should be in the 33 to 35% range, and I see it sometimes in the high 40s.
Okay.
Okay, then the third thing you want to do is add up the number of hygiene hours that were worked in the practice for that time period, for a year or 6 months, and you're going to divide that into the total dollars that were produced in hygiene. That's going to give you the hygiene revenue per hour that's produced in your practice. And I believe that number needs to be at least three times the salary per hour that's being paid to the hygienist. So if a hygienist was getting paid $33 an hour, she should or he should be producing $100 per hour.
Okay, so that certainly makes sense, especially considering the overhead of a dental practice.
And then the fourth measure is that you should add up the number of hygiene patient visits in that same period of time, 12 months or 6 months, and divide those visits into the dollars that were produced in hygiene in that period of time. And that's going to give you a different number. That's going to give you the revenue that's generated in hygiene per patient. Usually that number is a lot larger than the hygiene revenue produced per hour, because of the open time that comes from last-minute cancellations and no-shows or an inability for whatever reason to fill the hygiene schedule. Now, I mean, that is the topic for an entire other tape about how can you reduce that. But the fact is that it's very, very, you know, eye-opening when you see, okay, gee, when I actually have a patient in the chair, this is what we produce. But this is what we produce per hour, and wow, it's maybe $20, $30 less.
So are you saying that those numbers could actually be equal or close to equal?
Well, they could be if, in fact, we had control of that appointment book and we had people who were respecting the time of the hygienist, and if, in fact, that they were pretty much having their schedule kept full, then they would be able to produce on every patient. And if, in fact, we've got the schedule full, then what they could produce per patient would be equal to what they could produce per hour. I don't ever see that happening. But it's certainly something that we need to try to do. So I think if you do this simple analysis as somebody listening to this tape and you don't like what you see, I probably have your attention. So I think we need to talk about how you can generate more revenue in the hygiene department, how to make hygiene more of a profit center for the practice. And in reality, all you have to do is start charging for what you are probably already doing now. This isn't so easy, because how are you going to get a patient to accept a charge of $200 or $300 for some site-specific soft tissue management for what they perceive is the same thing that you used to do when you were charging $75 or $80 for the Prophy?
Not only perceive, but it may be the same thing. It could even be the same thing, but you just weren't charging for it.
That's right. And the answer to figuring this out is that what I said in the beginning, we have to create value, and you have to change the patient's perception that you're doing something different. Patients will pay for that as long as they perceive that something different is happening.
So is there an actual way to change the patient's perception other than just tell them what you're doing differently? Because that may not do the trick.
I really do, and I think it's sort of a coordinated effort that needs to take place. And I would tell you that there's three or four things that we need to be able to do to change the patient's perception. And here's what I'm going to suggest that we do. And I'm going to, if you want me to, Rich, I can include some of these handouts with this tape series.
That'll be fantastic. That. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, when the patient arrives for their visit, they are handed a one-page fact sheet that it's only one page. They won't read more than one page, and it's not a brochure, which could be terrific and beautiful, but, you know, those things are 11, 12 pages, and nobody can read it. This is before they go in for their continuing care visit. They're handed a one-page fact sheet that I will include with this tape. And it clearly, in layman's terms, talks about the correlation between periodontal disease and systemic disease. And at the bottom of that little letter, it says, so remember that the hygienists of the 21st century don't just clean teeth. They save lives. So they read that. And everybody reads that before they go in. So then they get seated. Well, when they walk into the hygiene room, there should be a large sign. I have it printed up to 16 by 20. And it's framed and it's put on the wall. And that says, in big, bold letters, the hygiene department of the 21st century does not clean teeth. It doesn't say anything about saving lives. It just says they don't clean teeth. And so it's used as an attention grabber for the patient when they come in, to be able to say, well, you know, what the heck do you do? And that's when you say, well, you know, when you read that letter, you can realize that, you know, we're more concerned about this correlation between systemic disease. And, I mean, people are hearing about this all the time, and that it's more of a health issue, that the correlation between strokes and heart attack, low birth weight babies, that there's a real reason for them to have their mouth healthy. So I think that that's important for them to see that on the wall, so that it gives the hygienist sort of an entree to be able to discuss this. And by the way, there is another pamphlet that I recommend highly that you give to any patient who is going to be scheduled for some kind of soft tissue management. And it's put out by the ADA, and it's pamphlet W121. And it's titled, Periodontal Disease, Don't Wait Until It Hurts. And it's very, very good. So you don't give it to everybody, but for somebody who's going to be scheduled for soft tissue management, I think it's something that they should take home so that they can look at it.